Now pull up a chair and turn your attention to the chimney. That's the basic set of instructions for this evening at Hedrick Middle School on the east side of Medford. Yeah, staring at an old chimney might not be the most exciting thing in the world, but the chimney does not get the active verb here. Birds do. Birds called vauxes swifts. If you speak French, we apologize. The X is pronounced. And the birds' activities on later summer evenings are also pronounced. They swarm old brick chimneys for a place to roost for the night. Let's learn more about the birds and the ways people observe them and an event scheduled for tonight at Hedrick Middle School. Carol Mockridge is in the studio, president of the Rogue Valley Audubon Society. Carol, welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning.
Karen Matthews is with us as well from the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Good to see you.
Good morning.
And joining us by phone is Ron Hevner from the Medford School District, who is the Support Services and Facilities Manager. Hi, Ron.
Good morning.
Good to have you all here. So let's talk about the birds and what goes on here. And I don't know which of you is more versed in the doings and habits of the vauxes swift, but this is something that gathers attention in quite a few places, and everybody looks to Karen.
Well, the vauxes swift is a really unique and fun bird. I don't even know where to start, but it's about 4.5 inches long, and a lot of people say it looks like a cigar with wings. It has really curved wings and a short tail, and they flap quite a bit really fast and glide, and they always seem to be twittering at the same time. So that's who they are. But what makes them unique is their behavior, really. They spend almost all of their time in the air. And in fact, they can't perch on twigs or phone wires like other birds can, because their little claw in the back is kind of small and goes to the front. Like other birds have a claw in the back that will help them grip things. And so they basically do everything that you would do in a day on the wing in the air, and only rest at night and not on a tree or on a wire, but they have to be vertical. So
this is interesting. So that explains it. They don't really have what amounts to an opposable thumb for a bird.
Right, they don't have thumbs.
So they have to cling, and this explains why they're clinging to bricks, Carol. They actually cling to brick chimneys?
Right, and only the older chimneys that don't have that smooth lining that happened about in the 60s. So that's why these old chimneys are so important to conserve.
Well, we have to believe the birds were around before there were chimneys, though. So why are they using chimneys? What was the place they used to use for their roosting at night?
Well, in the past, when an old-growth tree died, it would rot on the inside, and you'd have a really tall snag, so it would become a roost at night. But now those are mostly all gone, so the birds have had to find other places to roost.
And so, Ron Hevner, this brings us to you and the actual smokestack at the Hedrick Middle School. What's the story on it? What's it being used for still, if anything?
Well, you know, we already had a plan to change out our boilers, kind of in a phased approach over the last few years. So in 2015, we changed out 2 boilers. And when we did that project, we moved those boilers to external flues that ran up the side of the building. And then we had one remaining boiler that was still utilizing that chimney. So this summer, as part of phase 2, we pulled that boiler out, replaced it with a higher efficiency boiler, and then did the third external flue. So the chimney still remains. All 3 boilers have been replaced and upgraded to high efficiency boilers with external flues. So we're just happy to be able to partner with the community and to, you know, have an expanded purpose for this chimney now.
So the chimney, you're saying, doesn't have any use for the heating system at the school anymore?
Yeah, correct. The boilers no longer go through that. So, you know, we were seeing when they were being heated, we were seeing some of the birds die. So, you know, now that we've got those boilers off of there and using those external flues, I think we'll see a better environment for the birds to rest in.
All right, so people don't need the chimney anymore, but the vauxes swifts are making good use of it. So where are they going? There's a migratory pattern involved there, isn't there, Carol Mockridge?
Right, so they're grouping up right now. Our local swifts have been here from the summer breeding. They're grouping up in very large flocks, and then they're going to fly south to Central America and also to South America. And the birds from British Columbia, Washington, are also migrating down and using that chimney.
So you guys have had a chance to watch this, I would think, for a few years now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Karen Matthews, give us a taste of what goes on out there. I've seen the videos, and I wanted to actually, this is the second year I've tried to bring some audio into the studio of the sound of the Swifts. The trouble is that people are so excited and talk so much when it's going on. You hear a lot more people than you hear birds, but what's it all about? What goes on?
Well, first of all, we largely discovered that these birds were using Hedrick chimney just a couple of years ago, and it's one of the more important roosts in the state and all along their Pacific flyway. And if you show up at the chimney about an hour before sunset, the birds will start to gather. So you'll start to see a few swifts and then a few more, and eventually there's a whole cloud of swifts just kind of moving around in formations and giving you a little show. And as it gets closer to sunset, this depends on the weather a little bit, but they'll start to get lower and sort of dive down towards the chimney but not go in. And sometimes you have like a tornado experience. It looks like they're kind of, the chimney becomes a vacuum and they just circle and then all of a sudden they get sucked in, it looks like. I mean, they're actually flying in and they go in tail first, and it's an amazing sight.
How much do we know about their behavior, why they seem to do that whole circling thing before they all decide, okay, that's it, boom, and down the chimney they go?
I don't really think we know. I've been watching every night now since August 21st at another roost 6 blocks away from Hedrick. And then I have a team of people from Audubon at Hedrick. And we've been comparing notes, and they're even different from those two different roosts. Some nights they're really high up in the air, and they circle in a tight bunch. And other times they go way far away and then come back around and circle the chimney. So, Karen, do you know why they do that?
I know that we don't know.
Yeah.
But it is kind of a common flock behavior that you sometimes mm-hmm. see in other birds, especially shorebirds or starlings even. They call it a murmuration in starlings. Mm-hmm. And it is somewhat of a mystery, but it does have some adaptive advantages where if you're a bird, you don't want to be singled out if there's a predator around, and you want to be in a confusing flock with everybody else. So somehow they figured out how to keep that tight and moving and swirling and yeah, it's quite the sight.
Well, and then they, you know, granted, it is getting dark by the time that they gather around the chimney, but it seems like they darken the sky that much further if they're in a big enough flock, and it looks mm-hmm. like they're a big enough flock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's yeah. really exciting that people will see tonight if they come out to Hedrick is the chimney is so tall that it doesn't have a lot of trees close by, like the site that I've been surveying. So you have a really good view of not only them going down the chimney, but their swirling and funneling action going into the chimney. So it's a great spot to see them.
Weird.
And last night there were 800 went in the chimney.
800? Okay, who can count that fast?
Well, we have scientists there. I have an outreach biologist who's been there every night from Rogue Valley Audubon, and we also have an intern, and they have clickers and binoculars, and they count in tens. And on Saturday night, there were 1,600 went down the chimney.
All right, so 1,600 on Saturday, 800 last night. Is there a chance of a lesser number tonight then?
There could be more.
Mm-hmm. All right, we were talking about the Vox's Swifts gathering at the chimney at Hedrick Middle School in East Medford. There's a gathering tonight. It's Vox's Swift Family Fun Night, sponsored by the Rogue Valley Audubon Society. That's tonight, gathering starting at 6 o'clock. You can join the conversation here in the exchange right now with Carol Mockridge of the Rogue Valley Audubon Society, Karen Matthews of the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy, and Ron Hevner from the Medford School District. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Our email address is 800-838-3760. Ron, you mentioned that the chimney is no longer used as part of the heating system at the school. So is it in relatively good shape? Has it been kept up over the years?
Yeah, it's still pretty good shape. You know, we're working on seismically upgrading the school, so we will seismically upgrade it at the same time. But overall, yeah, excellent shape.
Well, that's good. So that was one of the questions I had, was whether if this becomes a surplus chimney, whether you would think about taking it down. And from the sounds of it, you're going to give it an upgrade.
Well, we'd like to, you know, it is important to the community, the kids and the staff, and, you know, you go over there, there's kind of a buzz every time this event comes at this time of year, and so if we can preserve it and use it for the educational purposes and something to bring the community together, we certainly will try to do that.
All right, Carol, you had something you wanted to add to this?
Well, Rogue Valley Audubon is going to be partnering with the school district in the next year or so to raise money to save the chimney.
What's the price tag on it, do we know?
Well, Ron, do you have any insight into that yet?
We should have a ballpark this morning, actually.
Oh, great.
But we're working on it as we speak.
Excellent.
All right, so we have a comment that was just dropped off by John in Ashland, who says dusk makes all animals go wild. Is that really what the issue is here? Do we know?
Well, there are a lot of animals that are more active at dawn and dusk than the middle of the day or in the middle of the night, and the swifts are one of them. For the swifts, they feed on the wing, and so they need to eat insects in the air, and the insects tend to drop when the temperature drops. And so it's all kind of related to that. And once your food is no longer there, there's no point to be using all that energy flying around. So it's time for them to go to bed, too.
So the swifts come out in the morning then and mm-hmm. spend the whole day on the wing, it sounds like, eating insects. Do they ever land on the ground? Do they ever do that?
No. If they land on the ground, they have a little bit of a hard time getting back up. So, but they are really, really well adapted to just spend all day long in the air. In fact, there's one of their cousins, the common swift in Europe, has a world record for the amount of time spent in the air. And they found that they can spend 10 months in the air without landing, doing everything they need to do for 10 months. So, that's the swift for you.
I guess being aerodynamically designed helps. I mean, I believe you, the whole cigar-shaped body thing comes through in every description of a Vox's swift. And this is an important thing, too. There is a species called the chimney swift. This is not that species, though. Is that right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. The chimney swift is occurs east of the Rockies. It's a little bit bigger, and it has a bigger population than our Vox swift here. And it has the same behavior, though. They do roost in chimneys at night. So if you're on the East Coast listening, you can find your own chimney swift chimney.
All right, let's take a call here. We have Bill in Sutherland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about Vox's swifts with Karen Hussey, Carol Mockridge, and Ron Hevner.
Yeah, I have two things to say about it. They actually nest in the chimney in my shop.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's a place in Roseburg out by the Veterans Administration. There's a big chimney,
mm-hmm.
and they do the same thing there. It looks like smoke going in reverse when they go in.
I have heard about the Roseburg event as well. Thanks for sharing that with us, Bill. And so, do you know how far apart? I mean, do Vox's swifts need, I don't know, what, 60 miles, 80, 180 miles, something between them?
Well, we're not quite sure, but with the limited research that's been done so far, with a few individuals that have been tagged, we figured out that we think that during migration they travel an average of 50 miles a day. And often they'll fly to a roost, and then they'll stay the whole next day and feed, and then leave the day after that. But, of course, there's variation in that.
So it's possible that the swifts who will arrive at the chimney in Medford tonight are not the same swifts who stayed at the chimney in Medford last night.
Correct.
Correct. And we also have other roosts in the Rogue Valley that Audubon is counting every night and mm-hmm. entering into a really important citizen database called voxhappening.org. And then also we've been entering it this year into Cornell's ebird.org.
Mm-hmm. The ebird we've gotten up on before because of the Christmas bird counts, for example. So how many different sites then are you monitoring that you're aware of where the swifts roost in the Rogue Valley?
Well, I'm monitoring two right now, and then we have, Karen, help me out here, Voris Mansion.
Yeah, so we've got
Noonan Estates.
Mm-hmm. Noonan Estates in Jacksonville. We've got Voris Mansion, which is at Eden Valley Orchards in Medford. And there's a new one that was discovered in Medford at
a school.
Yeah.
A church.
Gosh, I wish I'd written down the name. It's not too far from Hedrick. And we actually have the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy has another swift event coming up. If you can't make it tonight, or if you make it tonight and you just can't get enough of swifts, you can join us on September 17th at Edenvale Winery.
Which is the old Voorhees Mansion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. For an event that we're calling Wine and Wings Vox Swift Count. And you can show up, and if you show up at the beginning, the wine will still be available. If you want to purchase wine, we're going to walk around the grounds and do some birding, and then hopefully sit down and see some swifts and hear a presentation about swifts.
So we talked about the fact that it could be 800 to 1,200 birds maybe tonight. How big a crowd of people do you get for these events, Carol?
Well, last year we had about 200, I think, at this family fun night. Mm-hmm. And then since I've been going there at Hedrick this year, the crowd is building. We have 10 or 20 people just, you know, walking their dogs, stopping by. We have a big presence there at Audubon. We have binoculars out and guides, and we'll be there until migration ends, which will be around August 21st.
So September 21st?
September 21st. So come on out. We'll be there to answer any of your questions.
So are people pretty well up on this now, or do you still have some people walking by with their dogs or whatever and wondering what in God's name is going on? All the people are sitting out there in their chairs and blankets.
Lots of people. They see our sign with a large picture of a swift on it, and everybody's interested in it. And all I have to do is look up, and it's quite a show as I swirl around the chimney.
Ron, I have to ask, for the people who have been doing the maintenance work on the chimney, what kind of things you have to deal with on the inside when the birds have been there for a while?
Not much, but when we had the boilers utilizing the facility, there was some birds that were harmed, mm-hmm. and so we would have to come and clean it out, you know, once or twice a year. But we've also partnered with the Audubon Society to help us with that, and you know, I think once we, you know, now that we have the boilers not utilizing that chimney, I don't think it'll be an issue.
Okay, so but the plan is for the chimney to stay up for years. You guys are going to get together with the Audubon Society and figure out cost sharing, it sounds like. But
correct,
the plan
absolutely.
Is to keep it up for a while. How tall is the chimney, Ron?
It's about 80 feet. Mm-hmm. A lot of it, you know, about half of that goes through the building, so it's not protruding. But once it gets above the building, you know, it's got the support of one wall for probably about 25, 30 feet, and then it protrudes above the building for maybe 15, 20 feet.
Okay, but it sounds like this is something people will be able to come out for years to come to see, Carol Mockridge.
Right, right. And we're really glad to be partnering with the school district. Last year when we found out about the mortality, when the boilers were finally fired up in the fall, there was a cap put on the chimney by the school district so that any stray few birds that hadn't made it down south yet wouldn't be able to go into the chimney. So we give them praise for doing that to save the birds.
Does anybody come by in the morning and watch the birds leave? It's all about coming to see them in the evening.
You know,
like.
I've talked to some people there who have done it. They don't come out, it doesn't sound like, in one giant mass. They kind of take their time coming out.
It's like humans getting up in the morning.
Right.
What are you doing up?
So that's been consistent with the locals I've talked to there.
And so if people do come out to Family Fun Night tonight, obviously there'll be people out there through September 21st, as you said, but what besides the birds will they be able to see and experience?
Well, there's going to be a food truck, lots of games for families. We're going to have Southern Oregon Land Conservancy is going to be there with a table. Audubon's going to have two tables with information. The environmental education program from SOU is going to be there talking about birds and training kids how to use binoculars, mm-hmm. and I spent the weekend with some of my board members and our intern creating some new cornhole games that look like chimneys, uh-huh. that they'll be able to throw beanbag swifts through.
So a whole bunch of things to do in addition to watching the return of the Vaux's swifts, which they will do around sunset at Hedrick Middle School. Thanks again to Carol Mockridge, president of the Rogue Valley Audubon Society, Karen Matthews from the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy, Ron Hevner, the support services and facilities manager of the Medford School District. Good to have you all in the Jefferson Exchange. Best of luck with the birds tonight.
Thank you. It should be fun.
Yeah, thank you. Back.